This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sarah Hugh and Doc Two on FUBAR Radio.
What up, what up, what up, Doc you. And Hugh?
You! You!
It's the
you
team, yo!
Back
it's
again.
The Doc Two! We need to do the whole show in that voice!
We need more explosions and sound effects. Lasers and all of that. We can keep this going for ages.
Explosions. Yeah. The start of this series.
Yeah.
Let's much quirk.
We're not enough, do we?
Let's pull your mic down damage. A little bit. To mouth level. Right. How are you guys doing?
He's a really, really tall pundit in here.
Yeah.
Huge. He is really tall.
He is really tall.
Yeah.
7'6", 7'7".
Welcome to the show, FUBAR listeners. You are tuned in to Sarah, Hugh and Doc Two. Of course, the team are back in full effect.
Twice in a row.
No,
the
I think this is the
Sarah,
third one.
Is it the third?
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty sure. It's third or fourth even.
This is becoming crazy.
It's never the fourth.
As a rule.
Yeah.
As a rule, it's never the fourth. No, but for real. And let's see how we get on next week too. And we have a jam-packed show for you this week, as always.
Sorry, I've just seen the 50 Cent news. We'll get onto that later. Yeah.
I know.
No idea.
Much to talk about, Doc.
Much
discussions to be had. And yes, we're going to be giving you the full scoop on, we have every week, we're going to be asking you guys to give us subjects that you want to hear Doc rap about, because every week we all know how Doc gets down. He can rap about anything. So send us your suggestions of what you would like to hear Doc vocalize for you.
Please.
And of all, as always, we're going to be asking you what has made you this week say are you taking the piss. So hit us up at FUBAR Radio for that one too. twitter.com/FUBAR Radio is the Twitter handle. We've got a guest coming in the studio later too, going by the name of Twizzy, and he's going to be Twizzy. He's going to be on the mic getting his rapping action in, so that's going to be fun and games as well.
If
and,
I come back to rap, I'm going to have to add two Z's and a Y to my name somehow.
Docky?
Yeah. So I can,
Docky? Space Docky.
Dizzy. No, someone's already got Dizzy.
Bucky.
Dockizzy.
Dizzy.
I need to update
Brizzy.
My name.
Doc Brizzy.
What about D Kizzy?
Yeah, no. Doc Brizzy.
Doc Brizzy. You can ask Snoop this weekend at Lovebox. He's going to be going down to Lovebox this weekend.
Yeah, actually got some big interviews on Friday. Got Cypress Hill and Rudimental. So it'll be good down there.
Yeah.
It's quite
weird
when you hear Be Real talk, isn't it? He's slightly nasal, but his voice is mainly quite deep. What happens in that moment where he gets in the booth and he's like, yo, what up, son?
I haven't seen Cypress Hill live yet. I would love to see them. I think they do one of the best live shows that I've seen on video, anyway. And one of the best hype men of all time in hip hop.
These guys are so called washed up. The dude
who said they're washed up?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying like it was maybe what some kids might say, but like the dudes who were doing rap in the 80s and early 90s. The huge advantage they got off over the dudes now is that they came from a tradition where all music had to have an incredible live show. And what you're seeing right now in rap music is rappers gradually, slowly realizing that it's very hard to sell records. So they've got to do great live shows, but they're just not used to
speaking
it.
To the front of the mic, Doc.
They're not used
one
to
day
it.
Doc will learn.
One day.
6 months into the show, one day Doc will learn. You've got to speak into the microphone.
No,
you're completely right, because I saw Kendrick Lamar at Wireless 2 weeks ago, and you know, it's the same as most other shows you're seeing nowadays, a pop artist, where they're just taking a vocalist and plonking them in front of a bunch of session musicians, and it's boring as hell. You know, and it's like there's no real vibe.
It doesn't reflect the majesty of his music, which is a real shame. I mean, we've already debated about Kendrick many times, and as you know, I believe his album to be the best rap album that I've heard in 10 years, and I still stick by that. But the live show doesn't reflect it at all. Like when you see Drake's live show, I mean, that dude, I know he splits opinion, but his live show is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think there's really an excuse.
I haven't watched the whole show.
What did Kendrick have as a live show? Did he was just like DJ or
he has
band
a band sometimes.
No.
Sometimes he has a DJ, but both times I've seen him with both.
Yeah.
It doesn't reflect how superb the music is, which is a shame.
Well, what do you reckon would need to be done differently to do that?
I just think you need something different to happen with every song. If you respect every song that you write,
yeah.
which he clearly does,
yeah.
then you treat every song as a separate performance.
What about if one...
Only certain people can be bothered to do that.
What about one track, he stands on the left of stage, next one right?
That's
he's already doing that.
Third
he's
one, sit down.
That is what his show is.
Fourth song, salute to the sun. Salute to the sun. Get some yoga in there. It's very popular with the kids' yoga. They love that shit. So yeah. you can like incorporate that.
So you're saying he just follow his lead from like a Word document margin.
Absolutely.
Just left margin him.
Absolutely.
Right margin him. Yep. Center him.
Center him.
Then put him in both.
And that's where the yoga would tie too, because you get centered from yoga as well. So you'd be center stage and center inner.
What's yoga? Just out of interest
yoga.
For the listeners.
Yoga.
I know. Yoga, I know.
You haven't heard of yoga?
I'm not on the yoga level.
Yoga, yoga's yeah. straight for yogurt.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, man, give me some of that yoga. Yeah, never know.
But, I mean, that is kind of as exciting as his show got, was running from one side of the stage to the
it's
other.
Yeah, that's and a that shame, man.
Yeah, but I mean, this is like this is where it's at now. And that's why, you know, you got to give it up to people like Run DMC, Beastie Boys, De La Soul,
Cypress Hill,
because you go and see.
Or
Public Enemy, yeah. you go and see them, they put on a performance, they put on a show for you with the true hip-hop etiquette, which, you know, other genres can't do that. Anyone can be plonked in front of a bunch of professional musicians and they just go through track one, track two, track three.
Hollyverse.
Hey, I went to see Amy, the movie Amy last night. We'll talk about that a bit later. But when I was just went to get a quick beer beforehand, so I walked past Rough Trade and PE were in there. How about that? And I was like, what? And I got no time. I was already like a couple of minutes late to the movie.
Bomber. Oh, God, not today, you mean? Yeah, going over there. Wow. Oh, yeah, I think I saw they were
doing something, some in-store or something last night at Rough Trade. But
I was really vexed to have missed them the other week.
Griff back? Professor Griff?
Oh, I can't remember. I did see something about his name pop up, but I didn't.
You apologise about the Mel Gibson thing and just came back?
Yeah.
I hope so.
But love for them. Remember to hit us up on the show today, Tuesday Drive at foodbarradio.com. You can hit us on twitter.com/foodbarradio. We love hearing from you. And I also love to kick the show off with some positivity. And so for me, it's all about them big ups. When I'm in Japan,
you know what I wanna hear. Yeah, you get props over here. You know what I wanna hear. Yeah, you get props over here.
Yes, it's all about showing love. It's all about them props. Oh, I was listening to a song earlier today. I know, I was like, this is like... You see the other week, Doc, when I was talking about hit you in the chest music. I'm not talking about a good little ditty where you're like, oh yeah, that was a catchy tune. I'm talking about a song where you're like... Wow, I'm feeling butterflies in my stomach.
I don't feel like that about why I love the Beatnuts so much because I'm a
no one else can do the Beatnuts.
I appreciate very complex, multi-layered lyrics with subtext as well. The Beatnuts never had any of that shit. Like, it was just what they said was what they said. It was never clever. It was never detailed.
Their music was cool, rap in its very
essence. I loved everything that they did.
Mm. But they have so much comedy. They have so much charisma.
Funny,
and only the Beatnuts do the Beatnuts. And that's what makes them special because only you know, you can't just put them in front of a band, a group of professional musicians and it be replicated by someone else kind of thing. Like they are, you know, they have their own distinct sound and that's music from the soul. But yeah, that is like a part of my new signature to go along with our... Yes, because we have to send those shout outs to positive people doing good things. You know, every week we ask you guys what has made you say, are you taking the piss?
Of course.
Yep.
But you know, there's times when you've got to send like a big up. And yet again, I got to send this week's big up going out to the one and only President Obama. He gets up.
Big up.
And you know what?
Again, he's back.
He's kind of cracking me up because he knows he's only got like a few more days left in office. So he's just like, right. I'm just going to do it all that I wanted to do from the start. Then I'm just like, peace, fools. And this last week, he's issued orders freeing dozens of federal prisoners who were on lockdown on like long-term sentences for non-violent drug offences.
Wow.
And he's written them each like personal letters. And, you know, he just says he's pushing for criminal reform in America.
Yeah.
Like, America is disgraceful. They take something like 2% of the world's population. They have 25% of the world's total prison population. Yeah. It's like this massive corporate machine, the prison industry out there. Well, it's just disgraceful. Well, you have people who have done like non-violent, ridiculous like crimes that are on, you know, really
I learned
long-term
that from
dangers.
Orange is the New Black.
And do they're doing like life sentences.
Do you know what? Especially if these are all drug-related non-violent crimes, it just sounds like Obama is planning what he's going to do when he finishes.
Yeah, man.
He's going to get a little crew together and get motherfucking high. Yeah. That's what he's going to go down.
Obama is, Sarah's right though. He's properly in the finish line. He's yeah. He's like in the final stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's definitely going out.
Yeah. I love
with
it.
The sexual chocolate. Yeah. Just yeah. drop the mic. And I'm out this motherfucker.
He was singing in Charleston.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
he's
also today,
he
props to
amazing.
Him for this like deal that he's done with Iran on the nuclear arms deal. That's like pretty amazing. And yeah, I've got Are You Taking the Piss relating to that later as well.
It's nuts that his two terms have coincided with a rise of a racism that we thought was maybe not defeated, but like in some kind of stasis. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, shit's crazy over there right now, yeah. race relation wise. And yet they've got a black president.
Well, and especially now with like video cameras on phones and shit, it's like when you are seeing police brutality
yeah,
against
true.
Black
you
people, they're
really
all getting filmed. They're all getting put on the fucking internet and they're going viral. And you've got millions of people now seeing something that would have been tried to be swept under the rug by local police as quickly as fucking possible. And now you've got access to millions of people seeing it. Mm. But it still doesn't seem like it's having any impact on government or local. Like, you know, it's like, fuck, it's still happening. It's crazy, man.
It's called institutionalized racism.
Yeah.
I mean, when my friend Hex Murder in Detroit, he is a bit of an OG, but he tweeted when the
name.
Yeah, Hex Murder, he is the Don. He's one of the illest people in hip-hop. He was like tweeting saying, you know, stupid things we used to say, that shit's on camera and there's no way those police are getting away with that. Like, we said that at the Stephen King time. We said that at the things that were happening in Ferguson, all kinds of stuff that's been going on even just in the last 2 years. But, you know, there's such like a wall of protection around like the police. So, you know, Obama, I respect that he's using his position to actually do something, you know, and make a push for change and switch some light bulbs on in people's minds, because African-American and Hispanic people are disproportionately affected by like these long-term prison sentences and stuff, and it doesn't reflect who is actually committing the crime either.
No.
And he sent a really cool letter to all these inmates. He says, you've demonstrated the potential to turn your lives around. By doing so, you affect not only your own life but those close to you. You will also influence through your example the possibility that others in your circumstances get their own second chance in the future. I believe in your ability to prove the doubters wrong. Love it.
It's amazing. He really is. I think he's the closest we've had to a revolutionary president of the state since Lincoln.
He's the first prime minister, seated prime minister, to visit a federal prison in America.
Really?
He's the first prime minister, yes. And he's going to commute more sentences than any president in the last century also.
So he's the only president to actually go to a federal prison. He's now just released all these people with lifelong sentences for non-violent crime. He's fucking definitely getting a posse together. There's absolutely there is no two ways.
Because he used to get high, right, at university.
Definitely. He even inhaled.
When I was on tour, I used to listen to Dreams of My Father on the audiobook, you know, in the car. And he talks about all that stuff, and he makes a joke about how he did inhale, that sort of Bill Clinton reference. Mm. So I think, yeah, man, in the same way that you know, you watch a boxer retire and then 2 weeks later they're like 25 stone. Just like in McDonald's every day.
Yeah.
I think that's gonna be Obama when he does the after dinner speaking.
Yeah.
You know? So as I was saying, What was I saying again? Oh shit.
Key and Peele has some funny sketches.
I'm out this bitch. Oh shit.
Those guys, Key and Peele, they've got some funny Obama sketches of Obama at university.
Luther's incredible. You seen the Luther shit? His anger translator.
No.
Okay, you gotta look up Luther, the anger translator, because obviously Jordan does an incredible impression of Obama, which he's been doing most of his career, even before he was in Key and Peele. But in the first season of Key and Peele, he was playing Obama in the Oval Office, and he had just this hood guy behind him, played by Peel, just with like nuff rings and stuff, like just totally hood. And he says, you know, that basically, you know, he's had one term, he's got this other term coming, And he just feels like a lot of his stuff, a lot of things he says is getting misrepresented or misunderstood. So instead of like getting angry about it, he's got Luther from the hood, who's going to be his anger translator. So he says all these right on things, and then Luther translates it into hood talk. And honestly, it's inspired. It's fantastic. And what's really incredible about it is it became a viral thing online, and a lot of people got into Key and Peele via the Luther sketches, and they did a few more. But earlier this year, Obama was doing a Democratic speech, a fundraising thing for Democrats across America. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, he said, I don't know if you lot are really hearing me. So I'm going to bring out a friend of mine to make things a little clearer. And he brought out Michael Peele, the wow. other half of Key and Peele,
wow.
to come and do the Luther Just thing like. With him. Far you can see that on the internet as well. Get on the old internet and Google anger translator. He's unreal. He's unreal.
Do you know, I saw something really, really good actually of yours, Doc Brown, recently. Someone came up on the Lad Bible or one of those things on Facebook or something like that. It was the gangster translation.
Hashtag banter.
The gangster translation, man. We should bring that up and play that on the show.
Just to say, I did come really up with that before Key and Peele. Yeah. Not saying they're biting, but I did have that.
Yeah, that was dope, though.
In 09.
I'm sure we can find that.
Way back in 09. Well, you're tuned into Foodbar Radio, and I think on that note we should definitely
let's have a song.
Let's
can
like
we play some
raise
peanuts
the
later?
You know what I really wanted to. I think I'm gonna have. I might have to dig something.
You need some outro reels or some shit.
Oh, I see. It's the remix. It's Sarah Hugh and Doctor. You're locked into Foodbar Radio.
What happened to Remy Martin?
She was in jail for a while. Didn't you see? It was so damn nice. Cute because her she got out of jail, and then who's her man? The other rapper dude, Papoose.
Is
and
that then, her boyfriend?
Yeah, no.
Oh
but
my
it
god,
was
it's
so
the worst rapper pairing. Of
no,
all time.
But it was so cute, honestly, because she came out of jail, and then at the BET Cypher thing, they did like a rap thing together, and it was just like the most romantic thing
really?
Anyone's ever seen in hip hop since Slick Rick
puke.
And yeah, no, it was
I
really
hate
cool.
Peppers.
No, it was really cool, honestly. So I've got they earned some stripes from doing that. You are tuned into Foodbar Radio with myself, Sarah Hugh, and Doc Two, and of course every week we have that special part of the show where we like to get down a little bit.
Well. Oh my god, like no big deal.
Yes, they did.
Make 'em baby bears.
Unbelievable. Curtis.
Make some baby bears.
Curtis.
Baby making music, baby.
Curtis James Jackson III. That's who we're talking about this week. If you don't know who Curtis James Jackson III is, then think back to the days when Ja Rule had a problem.
When Ja Rule
had
mattered.
His first problem.
Yes.
Yeah, when Ja Rule mattered. When he
no,
had his first
that's
problem
mean.
With Curtis James Jackson III, a.k.a. 50 Cent. A man who, I'm going to be real, I fucking loved 50 Cent in the late
too.
90s. Early 2000s.
I love that. I gotta be real. I fucking love
I
him. That was impassioned. That's like the most passionate.
Listen, if you heard The Power of a Dollar and what was the next album before Get Rich, I can't even remember what it was called. But
I'm not
just,
the person.
He was unbelievably good. And I genuinely thought he was going to be the next guy. And he kind of was when Get Rich came out.
I think he's a super intelligent dude.
When Get Rich came out, he
kind of
was. He had the humor. He had the street side. He got shot 9 times, which helped.
Cred.
That never usually helps, does it?
No, usually you're fucking dead.
Yeah, you usually die.
You usually die.
And then... His acting was so bad.
It was really bad, yeah.
And then he became this kind of...
I didn't even bother watch. I was like,
Jesus.
I do not need this as part of my life.
I used to quite like the way he could rap without moving his mouth, like a ventriloquist.
Yeah.
But when you see acting, you need to... You've got to have more movement than that.
Otherwise, it literally just looks
you
like
can't
he's
just be
he's
like,
miming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's like a voiceover.
Yo. Yeah. You know, remember when Ice Cube, before Ice Cube properly became an actor, when he was... I mean, when I say that, he obviously became a huge actor very early.
Mm.
But when I say a proper actor, I mean like I watched a film with my kids the other day called Book of Life, and he did a voice performance in that, which is really camp. and hilarious. Yeah. I mean, just brilliant. And if you've seen 21 Jump Street, he's absolutely superb.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the early days of Cube acting when he was like, yo, I'm wearing a bandana in this. I get, but Cube, you're in a jungle. You're fighting a huge snake. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I'm Ice Cube, yo. I'm wearing a bandana, but it's acting. You got to pretend to be someone else. 50 Cent, I don't think he ever grasped that concept. So even in every film, he's like, I'll be like, I'm playing his stage and today.
Well, give Reese or Die Trying. I didn't even know that was a drama. I watched it a couple times. Fuck, that movie's funny. It's so funny.
It's hilarious.
What? That's a drama?
Yeah.
I don't think he really cared about the acting.
No.
Credentials.
What he really cared about.
Am I getting paid?
Yeah. What he really cared about, like you say, was business. The power of the dollar. In a callback to the name of his first album. And what a businessman he's proved to be. As on the 13th of July 2015, it has been reported across the networks of the world that 50 Cent, Curtis Jackson, has declared himself bankrupt.
And the great irony is that he's now worth 50 Cent.
That's superb. And that's great. I hope you're the first to say it. I doubt you are. I hope you are. They're talking about debts possibly up to $50 million.
Far out.
I mean, that's the Wall Street Journal's figures. It's insane. And apparently, in addition to that, I mean, this bankruptcy ruling has come days after a jury ruled that he had to pay a woman $5 million over a sex tape thing. Yeah. So he's obviously trying to close a case that he's been sued on privately, hasn't got the money to pay it. And the only way to deal with those kind of debts when you're broke is to declare yourself bankrupt. Yep.
Well,
so you don't have to pay that shit.
There's a difference between being broke and being bankrupt.
No,
so him
is,
being
right.
filing for bankruptcy means that he legally doesn't have to pay.
That's very true.
This his Rick Ross's ex-girlfriend.
So he's got a few quid somewhere.
What's her name?
Right, she's got a kid with Rick Ross, don't she? Yeah.
Lestonia. Yeah. Leviston. She is Rick Ross's ex-girlfriend, but yeah, I assume she must have, I don't know how it got into 50's hands, but yeah, he's released a sex tape which features her, and at one point it was reported that it was Rick Ross in the sex tape too, and then so she filed a suit against him and was ordered to pay like five million. Can I just give a massive
shout out to all the women that have had to sleep with Rick Ross over the years, because I don't know how you've done it. You're incredible, and I hope you got paid in some
Hulk
way.
Music?
I'm not labeling
Hulk
you
music.
Prostitutes at all or anything like that. I hope you got some money, because if I even had
that
to be friends
with
Rick Ross,
what are you talking about?
No, because you know, listen, like if you slept with him, there's no way you could have enjoyed any moment of it. He's such a disgusting man.
If you were
in
conscious,
so many ways.
If you were conscious,
yeah, if you weren't roofied by this fucking rapist motherfucker.
Let me play devil's advocate. And maybe, you know, there's some women out there, maybe that's their cup of tea.
They're like a big fat bald guy with tits.
Even just the science, of how does that even mechanically work? Yeah. That's
because you know he's got one of those tiny little cocks.
Oh, yeah.
You know those
absolutely.
Massive, big fat guys.
I don't know how it
works.
And
they've just got the thing. It looks like three testicles.
Yeah. I'm not like disgusted that women sleep with him. I'm just fucking surprised.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it can even actually work.
But, you know, there's a lot of women who are dumb enough to believe his lyrics. Mm. And Rick Ross is somebody who's like, he started off in his early raps talking about how he was a billionaire. Mm. And then he had to, like, he got to the Rich Forever mixtape and he's talking about, like, landing on his own heliport in his own helicopter and how he's worth, like, $300 billion and all this stuff. Like, he has to own a small country, a developing country.
Yeah.
Or a planet somewhere soon.
That sweet oil money.
Otherwise, his raps, this is going to be like, oh, Rick's flopping.
Yeah.
He only owns Greece.
Yeah. Anyone who listens to Rick Ross
Mate, you can
needs
fucking buy Greece right now.
Help, quick. Needs some serious intervention, because that guy is just
I think you know what's really depressing about rap right now is that I hear people who are biting Rick's flow. And to be fair to Rick, he did come out with a flow, right? Not a great flow, but he had a flow. And because it was, you know, popular, I hear rappers biting his average ass flow, and that is so depressing.
And
to
this
me.
Is
I don't even know if they realize they're doing it.
No, but this is what I'm saying. The story is always the same, isn't it? Monkey see, monkey do. So it's like, if the examples being put up there are whack examples,
Sarah's
then
black,
we're gonna get whackness. No, you're gonna have like whack results, isn't it? So this is why we need like good examples of people to be put up there. I mean, I was just reading this horrific article about just the sexualization of children's charts and chart music when you see
this
new Rihanna video. And it's just like, this is basically a snuff porno, you know, where it's like, and at one point we thought the Like a Prayer Madonna video was outrageous and controversial kind of thing, and it's like, you watch this, and the, Rihanna knows, her record label knows, her management knows, her agency knows that her target audience are little kids, where 2 years previous they're playing like tea parties, you know, with their friends kind of thing, and now you're like basically exposing them to like, you know, just,
I'll be real
with
you, that's
Jesus.
Why I like Taylor Swift, because Taylor Swift and Rihanna have got exactly the same audience. And Taylor Swift actually recognises a level of responsibility. She knows what she's about. So she dips into the world of hip-hop a little bit. You know, she gets those kind of Mark Ronson-esque beats and shit. She might do a little rap on there. But it's just so crispy clean.
But do you know what I find confusing is, like, I would like to see more synergy between what an artist is doing in their real life and representing in their real life and what talking about on a record. So it's one thing to be like, I'm going out for my checkbook and making sure the Spotify aren't taking my money. But then on your record, you're just like, hey, the hokey cokey. And it's like, talk about what is real. Let's school the kids so they can't be taken advantage of. But no, you're just going to do the same. Like, there's no content in her songs. Come on.
True.
Yeah,
that's
the haters gonna hate, hate.
Yeah, and shake it off. That's, you
never
know,
a true
that was
word
deep.
Said.
When you really check it, when you really
you really unpack that, and analyze
it's
it,
deep.
Haters are gonna hate.
Oh,
hate,
they really are.
They are.
They really
it's
are.
Deep.
They fucking are.
I mean,
man.
When I did hear that song, it's like everything stops. And I just, the world changed from that moment on for me. Yeah. And it's like, I've never been the same again. It's just made me really rethink my whole life strategy and everything. Because, like, I really feel like that when I hear her music.
I like that song, man. Fuck you. there's a great video if you get a chance, actually. It's not. It's actually quite a good song. If you get on the internet, again.
It's as good
as the
Teletubbies theme tune.
No. It's a lot better than that.
Is it marginally?
There's a great video online. It's there's a secondary school up north called Seaham Secondary School, and this has become a bit of a trend. Teachers at the end of the year, when the highest year is leaving, so that'd be year 11. Mm. They do like a goodbye video, and at some point in the past couple of years, that's become like miming to a song. And in this new one for this school, it starts off with all the senior management team in the office saying, what should we do this year for the video? And then they just suddenly start miming to the Shake It Off song. But the way it's shot, the whole thing is done in one shot. I don't know how the fuck they do it. And it's every member of staff in the school. And it's one of the most joyous experiences you'll have online. It is beautiful. It's family friendly. It's hilarious, and the kids of that school will never forget. So big up that high school, because that is incredible. And listen, I will stand by that. Shake It Off, I like that tune.
Do you know maybe what 50 Cent could do is a goodbye from the industry tune? He could mime that song, King of the Road. Trailer for sale or rent, room to let, 50 Cent. I ain't got no cigarettes. Don't you reckon?
King of the Road. King of the Road.
Okay.
Hey, do you know how we were talking about Ja Rule before as well? Obviously, Ja and the beef with Fitty. I saw like it was only a couple of months. Literally like a couple of months ago that Fitty was bragging about buying Murder Inc. Records and then owning all of Ja Rule's music as like a big fuck you.
But
you
this
know
is what I'm saying with the 50 Cent bankruptcy story. He is a very smart dude. I mean, he bought that. He invested in that vitamin water, which was sold to Coca-Cola for $4.1 billion in 2007.
Shit.
Like, clearly, he's just being, like, hard-headed about not... There's no way he's giving no money to this woman, to Rick Ross's ex, and so he's going to go buy it, whatever means it takes avoid making this payment. And so one way to do that is filing for bankruptcy, because legally, he's still allowed to work, and he's still allowed to be a performer and everything, but he's just... he's not expected to actually pay this money.
The headphones didn't really work out, no?
the tinnitus by 50. But no, the funniest part of it for me was... in the court papers it said... Rap wars or beefs are common in the rap and hip hop culture and involve irritating other artists to create more interest, develop more awareness for themselves, and create competition or battles as to who can create material up to standard quickly. I like that little breakdown in the court.
That's what it means.
Between you and I, guys, I know you don't know anything about this, so let me break it down for you. So
they're
basically
vibrant, those young men, aren't they?
Yes,
they are. Very energetic.
The hip hop and rap cultures.
Beef? They eat steaks together? What? They go out for steak? I don't know how it works. They've got beef. Oh, they must own cows.
So we're basically sending out this week's, no they didn't, has got to be 50s bankruptcy, but it's pretty, it's going to some pretty extreme measures.
How the fuck did he hammer himself though? How did he MC hammer himself? 30 million albums he sold.
No, but you see, this is why I'm saying having business intelligence counts, which is why you need to sing about this stuff in your music rather than just like, let's all do the hokey cokey. Because when you own a business, that is separate to your personal assets. 100%. So you don't, like, for example, what you earn as an individual, you have to pay tax on that. But if it's a business expense, if it's a business earning, that is completely different tax laws and everything like that.
As soon as I started earning money, I started up a business, which is where all my money goes into. You know why? Because I am so terrible with money. If you look at my own personal bank account, it looks exactly like it did when I was 19 years old. It's like minus £750. And I'm still trying to find those ATMs where you can get a fiver out. Do you know what I mean? But my business account is crazy. All right. You know, and it's beautiful because I can't fuck with it. I can't touch it. You know, I have to pay myself a wage, a paltry wage, from that business. So I know that somewhere down the line, my kids are going to be good, property is going to be good,
but
all that shit is going to be sorted.
But this is the kind of information that needs to be shared with young
but
people,
I, you know what I got
business
from?
Sense.
I got that from my accountant. I didn't get that from any of my friends. I didn't get it from anyone I knew.
Exactly,
my accountant told me to do that.
Because people are listening to Rick Ross and they're listening to Taylor Swift songs and they're listening to this.
What's he doing?
Of course he does. I mean, obviously this is an extremely business savvy person from when he's doing deals with Coca-Cola for like $4 billion and stuff. But what I'm saying is, this is how you pay the loopholes in the law, which is completely legal, to get away with not paying this poor lady for her feeling that she was at punitive damages for his, being exposed to
his net worth was $155 million in May. That is not even 2 months ago.
But maybe how the
but that's my
maybe
I don't
he wasn't
know if
even
that's
that
personal.
Good at maybe he wasn't that good at business. Like even talking about his headphones before Sleek Audio, I think something like that. And he had a summons to pay £11 million to them and didn't do it. Do you know what I mean? So there was a lot of big, massive
right,
debts
right.
like that. There was tons
that
across
in.
The board, not just that one $5
They're
million.
Calling that shit in.
Yeah, yeah. And he was just trying to.
He's
like
definitely
said,
got
he's
some dough overseas though somewhere.
Of course he has. Yeah. Of course he has.
This
Come
is
on.
All about his American money, his personal fortune.
Yeah. So I say this week's. Like, no, they didn't. It's got to be about 50 Cent. And it's pretty extreme measures that he's gone to, from what it seems like, possibly, to get his own way. But what kind of extreme measures have you guys gone to meet the ends that you've been looking for? Hit us up at twitter.com/foodbarradio.com. You're going to expose all your deepest, darkest thoughts now, can't you? But no, hit us up at tuesdaydrive@foodbarradio.com. What are the most extreme measures that you have been to get your own way or to get a result that you've been looking for?
Do you know what? I've got one I'll tell you up next, and it ended a friendship completely.
Nice.
You know what else I love about Beatnut? This is going to come into a Beatnut, turn into a Beatnut special show now.
Why not?
The
man?
Other
Let's
thing
celebrate
I love
those motherfuckers.
Exactly. The other thing I love about Beatnuts, they've got that straight up underground credibility, and you know, they do a great show. They've got an ill catalog, and they've got like mainstream crossover bangers too. Whereas like I've been able to go around the world, play these tunes in like jiggy clubs, and they still rock the joint.
And people bite their loops all the fucking time. Yeah. That one you just played, like J-Lo blatantly teeth there. And then like she could have got around it by saying, you know what, let me get them to rap on the song. Yeah. But she just went and got the locks instead. Remember that?
No, that was outrageous.
And then
I know with
Miss Dynamite as well, she had the what was the other tune they had?
Oh, you mean no escaping this.
Maybe it's
there's Hot with Greg. Anyway, I've got a few more Beatnuts jams coming for you later. But yeah, no, I think they're going to be in the UK later, so let's try and get them on the show. I think that will be lovely. Remember, you can keep your suggestions coming through to us at tuesdaydrive@foodbarradio.com for subjects that you would like Doc to rap about. Is it Wendy? Was that the lass's name?
Wendy in Streatham.
What?
Would like me to rap about how her strap just broke on her shoe, and then as a result of that, she chipped her toenail varnish.
Steep. Maybe I should.
Yeah, I mean,
write
listen, I can rap about anything, but there's
can you relate
there's
to
not, there's
this?
Not much
can you relate to the toenail?
Oh yeah,
chippage?
Yeah. I've had a very similar situation when I was
a drag queen
climbing the Duns River Falls in Jamaica.
Yeah. Is this for real? Or
this is for real.
Like
no, this is for real.
Bullshit.
I had this Nike flip flop because I didn't get the climbing shoes. I thought, no, fuck it, I don't need those.
I don't need
I had this
that.
Nike flip flop and it just exploded on my foot. It just fell apart. And then I got hit by a wave and I cracked my toe on.
Can I just say?
So, Wendy, there's hope.
Yeah, can I just say, Doctor,
and
if you were going.
It's still dislocated to this day.
If you were going hiking, you're going on like a climb, like a hiking thing, and you wear flip flops, you fucking deserve to break your feet, mate.
Yeah, but I was
sorry,
a kid.
Buddy.
Was
but
a
isn't
kid.
That what Aussies wear all the time?
Not for flip flops.
Rock climbing? We're in the beach.
Hey,
we're in the
actually,
backyard.
I've been rock climbing in flip flops.
There you go.
And it was. I literally was like risking my life, but it was one of those situations where you've gone too far and there was like no backing out.
Fucking thug
in Thailand trying to get to this lagoon. Nearly killed myself. I was pleased to escape out of that one.
So yeah, I like that email from Wendy. I just wonder if it's got quite enough abstraction for me to wrap around it. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like
you can do
it's quite specific.
You can do it. I believe in you. But keep your suggestions coming through
coming
to us.
In.
We love hearing from you guys in general anyway.
In,
so
in
hit
terms
us
of
up.
Like how far you'd go to get what you want. Mm. Big shout out to Neil in Stratford, the Avon one that is, who once told a girl who fancied his mate. That he was only into men. He told this girl that his mate that she fancied was only into men so that she wouldn't ask him out. And
that's
he
deep.
Asked her out instead and romanced the hell out of
oh,
her. You know what I
like
mean,
how
guys.
He's giving himself.
You,
I
he's
like
written,
how the props he's giving himself.
He says, you know what I mean, guys.
Wait.
And he's actually written wink, wink. He hasn't used the emojis. He's written wink, wink.
He pretty sure he did sex
and,
to her.
And then he's put a space and he's put, she dumped me when she fell out of. When she fell out. She dumped me when she fell out, but life goes on. I think she means she dumped
she
me when she fell out with
car
him.
When she was trying to get away from you,
let's hope, let's
that
hope
he was
it's
just
not
a
that.
Liar.
Neil, if you could,
Neil, you're worrying.
Clarify.
I don't know if I'm did too you, into this whole just.
Have you
lying
shoved her out of
the
car at 65 miles an hour, or did she fall out of love with you? But he says life goes on for him. She's in
on
a coma.
Not for her.
Not for her. No, not for her.
Oh shit! Thanks, Neil.
I had one where, you know, you got to go to extreme measures to get what you want. I had one that, like, literally, completely, finality, ended a friendship, a long-term friendship as well.
Oh, no.
But basically what happened was me and a friend had, like, we got into a position where we were able to buy a business, an indoor skate park. Mm-hmm. And basically ran, like, this three-level indoor skate park. And we had it for about a year. And basically, anyway, we had a little, it was like a shop down the bottom. The first level was the street course and the bowl up the top and stuff like that. And this guy, as good of a mate as he was and how enthusiastic he was to do it and everything like that, like, lovely dude. He was just, like, would get drunk behind the counter, leave the door unlocked at night time when he'd go home and just like doing all this terrible shit, terrible, terrible shit. And we'd start building this place up to the point where we had, you know, like hundreds of kids coming through there every week that were like dependent. It was in like a, you know, the western suburbs of Melbourne, so a really shitty area, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these kids like had fucking, you know, couldn't stay at home, had nowhere to go. They would come and spend all their time with us. And it just got to the point after about a year, I was just like, I don't know what to do. Like, this is gonna really, really blow up in my face if I keep doing this with this guy. But if I just walk away from it, all these kids are gonna have absolutely nowhere to go and they're gonna be fucked, you know what I mean? And this dude's not gonna run it by himself or whatever. So it was a really, really tough one. And I knew that whatever decision or however I decided to go about it was gonna basically end this friendship. So the only, because I just felt like it was so important to the local community to have this place up and running and clean as a whistle for all these kids and families to be able to go there, that I had to go to the landlord. Had a meeting with the landlord and the owner of the building as well. And there was, you know, there was an owner and then a landlord, which is kind of weird, but whatever. And then basically I told them the situation and they said, cool, well, look, we're going to offer you to renew the lease and then we're just going to say that we don't think that this guy is in a position to put him on a lease. So basically either Hugh, you can take over the lease by yourself, or there's nothing
so
at all.
So you were in cahoots with them.
Or there's nothing at all. And I was like, fuck, I really don't know what to do in this situation. But at the same token, it was like a business thing that I knew that was not going to be separated in friendship.
Mm.
How could you? Like, what would you do in a situation like that? What would you do?
Oh, me,
Sarah?
Personally?
Yeah. What would you do?
Oh, I mean, I would try and speak level-headedly with the person first.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to go through the different stages, and then when it gets to extreme measures, extreme circumstances, then maybe you need some extreme measures, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we had all these conversations, and it was just a constant thing of, yeah, sorry, I fucked up, 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 and it would just keep happening and happening and happening, and I was like, fuck. But, I mean, that was a pretty extreme measure for me, because not only did I have to go have this conversation with the landlord, but I had to do something that I felt like was kind of behind my friend's back, and I felt fucking horrible about it, even till this day, like, you know.
Oh, no, you have to let it go, because it's a learning curve.
It is a learning curve.
Even going through difficult or negative things, yeah, it's an experience which you grow from out of it, don't you?
Yeah, so, but I mean, I stand by it.
That's a positive.
And I stand by it, because it did, like, the business flourished, and it was an amazing place for a long time for lots of kids, you know what I mean? So,
aww.
I stand by it, but it was fucking hard, man.
Yeah.
Really hard.
No, businesses ain't no joke.
No.
And that's why also, I mean, keeping bands together as well. Mm. Like, you've always got to be impressed with bands that manage to stick together, because it was so many different personalities to satisfy and everything. Last week, I DJed at the Roots concert, which I didn't believe it was their first concert in 4 years in the UK,
yeah,
and their only UK show.
While,
yeah, but I couldn't believe it. But of course, because they've been like the resident band on, is it Saturday Night Live?
Oh,
or
yeah, yeah.
Who was it? One of them people.
Jimmy. Yeah, I think Kimmel, was
Jimmy
it Fallon?
Fallon. Jimmy Fallon.
Fallon.
I think it's Fallon.
Yeah,
it was
all the same anyway. But yeah, one of those really big shows. Like, so yeah, I guess that's why they've not been out on the road.
Black Thought, man. Can we just spare a thought for Black Thought? Can we spare a multiracial thought for Black Thought?
Why are you saying that though?
Because he's one of the greatest rappers of all time, who I think is massively underrated because his team is so fucking amazing.
And because,
do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and like, I actually picked it. You're reading my
mind.
You
think of the Roots, but you don't think of Black Thought unless you, like, you're really into lyrics. And I just think, he's one of the best.
Oh, definitely.
He's up there, like, with, like,
mentioned.
Andre 3000, you know, like, as one of those rappers you don't really think of, like, as a rapper, because he's not Black Thought, he's the Roots, just like Andre is Outkast.
Yeah. But also, they're just like low key killing it and low key feared by MCs.
Yeah,
like
these are the
kind of MCs where other people don't want to go on a track after them.
Yeah, and they've even had
Andre.
Hits, and people still don't think of them as like MC's MC like you would, you know, with a Biggie or a Big L or a Jigga or whoever. Do you know what I mean? People still see them as, oh yeah, they're part of that band, or like alternative.
yeah.
Them two of my favourite spitters in my top five all day long.
Who, Andre and Black Thought?
Yeah, all day long.
Yeah, no. They're not. Oh, that would be a nice track. Farrah Monch, Andre 3000, Black Thought. And I do actually have a Farrah Monch, Black Thought tune to play that I already picked out today. So that fits in nicely. But I mean, Roots, wicked example of one of these groups who have managed to overcome the challenges of being, you know, keeping so many people happy in a group. And they've kept this show going on the road. Their gig the other day was really dope.
They're
and
awesome,
it was just
man.
So nice how they put the whole show together, where they did you know, covers of like Meters tunes, James Brown and stuff, and like fit them into the show with the solos with the percussionist and Questlove doing like a battle kind of call and response thing. It was all like really super fresh.
They keep it moving, don't they? They always have something different going on, and they always have like an experimental section where it goes like mad, like free jazz type vibes. Although I have to say, there was one year when they were touring the what was the album that came out in like 98? The one with Dynamite on it and all of that.
Yeah.
Adrenaline.
Things Fall Apart, thank you.
Probably my favourite Roots
album.
And I went to see them at Brixton, and they had that experimental section where like Questlove was just like just playing every drum in the world at the same time. And then the bass player was like, and I was so fucking high.
Yeah.
That, like, yeah. When you're really high and shit like that happens.
Yeah.
But it goes beyond that and it starts making you a bit sick because you can't.
You start
you
having
place
a whitey.
It. Yeah, I thought, I'm going to go in a whitey.
Stepping into the realms of a whitey.
Mid Roots. And I've whited at Brixton before. I've whited there 4 years before.
That's not
that.
A good place
the
to have a
The Ill Communication whitey. Tour, Beastie Boys, in
I
94.
I would not want to have a whitey.
I waited in the middle of Sabotage.
But that was funny as hell. But yeah, so no, their show, and that is in stark contrast to what you see at the Kendrick Lamar show, where it's just some dudes playing the right notes in the right places, and he's running around, and it's like there's no actual interactional vibe or any kind of musical chemistry or artistry going on stage. You're not getting a performance, you're just getting a run through the track, and that's not
it's what you expect from lesser rappers than Kendrick.
What happened? You said the extreme measures at the beginning.
Oh no, I was just saying, like, as a band you go through so many extreme processes, and that's why not many bands last, and that's why not many labels want to sign bands, because they're like, okay, we don't want to have to be dealing with keeping five different people happy, like when we can just get this coat hanger and get them to do whatever they're told. And so you've got to take your hat off to a group like The Roots, because they managed to like champion through the adversity of being a group. But this track came out on the recent Farrah Monch album, PTSD, and for me it was just so ill to hear Farrah spitting alongside Black Thought on this one. This is called Rapid Eye Movement. It's FUBAR. It's not letting a white or black job set. It's that good, duck up your rap music. Black foot, me down with the rap you wear. It's that pure shit, rapid eye. My kind of tanks like a piranha thing. Multiple rights, nigga, mega, reality, terror, giga. Grand Theft Auto, modern day Nicki and Mallory Small. But I'm sick enough to walk into an all gallery and piss on a Picasso. Crack stack, put my balls on the bricks, shit on it, I'm a rat. So when the beat is intensified, I become emotionally desensitized. Like once I slap the rapper with mace, then I spit ass in his face. That's the difference from side to side. I actually grew five times my size. Grab mace by the thigh and slap the rapper with him. Now that's rap, now I'm sad with a job. It's not Latin or white or black. The new tag, rap is that double action, crack music. Black thought, act, barrel, rap, blue, red. It's that lucid rap, but I'm all mad. Spitting out on that ill track from the post-traumatic stress disorder album, and that one is called Rapid Eye Movement. That is like
We've got some new rap about anything.
I say we hold them, keep them flooding, because we like to give Dot a good choice by the time it gets down to it. But before we go any further with that, I think we should has been
What have you been doing, you filthy bastard?
I'll tell you what, last night I fucking bawled my eyes out like a little baby, and it wasn't because of just like the normal, like I cried a lot. That's why I moved to London, because it rained so much, and I figured I can just walk in the rain and no one's going to see me crying all the time.
Nice.
It's going to make a big difference, you know what I mean? But yeah, I did. I bawled my eyes out last night. I went and saw the documentary, of course, about Amy Winehouse. And it's just like, it's incredible. You know, it really is. It was so mind blowing and just so sad as well. By the end of it, I was just in tears, and the person who was with me was kind of a bit embarrassed. I was like, fucking let me cry. I feel. I'm a man that feels things, and I want to fucking let that emotion out.
But what? How do they tell the story? Is it with a narrative? Is it like?
It's in the same way as Senna, which is directed by the same director, Asif Kapadia, who's a good friend of mine. Senna was a multi-award-winning, Oscar-winning documentary about an F1 driver in the 80s, and I hate F1. I mean, it's just fucking noise to me.
Oh, it wasn't that Rush film.
No, Rush bit so much shit from Senna, it's untrue.
Oh, I see.
This Senna was a documentary also, and it was made in exactly the same fashion. So you hear interviews, there's no talking heads, you hear people contributing, but all you see is archive footage from the start to the finish. That's how they did Senna. It was revolutionary then, and it keeps the tradition going. And Amy, the big difference with Amy is that because it's obviously much more modern, there's a lot of phone footage. There's a lot of stuff that she shot herself, or her best friends have shot, or has been shot while she's, you know, been on tour and whatnot.
So what it's is it her movie. Life story? Is it a story of a particular point of her career?
No,
how's
it's pretty
it
much
going?
Her life story.
Like, it kind of starts out with her obviously being quite young, and how she first sort of got into music, and, you know, she was working with some people kind of caught notice of how well she could sing. She was like, I don't really write songs, but I have been writing all these poems. And then people were looking at the poems and going, you are writing songs.
Yeah,
they're lyrics. Like, they're fucking, what you're writing here is incredible. Mm. But another thing, I've always loved Amy Winehouse. I've loved her music, but it's not an artist that I'd really, really sort of delved into and known too much about the personal stuff, you know what I mean? For I don't even know why I haven't, but I just never have. So even learning things about her last night, about how much even in the jazz world, like for people like she did, you know, obviously she did that very famous duet with Tony Bennett and stuff like that. But she was like just incredibly, incredibly respected by the jazz community all around the world as a first and foremost a jazz singer.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And also how she is really, really good guitarist. Like
great
she,
guitarist.
She is an amazing
incredible
musician.
Lyricist. And yeah. they print the lyrics up on the screen every now and again, which reminds you how great a writer, how great a lyricist she really was. But yeah, that's right. You do forget what a guitarist she was. She was embraced also by the rap world.
Yep, exactly.
And she loved that because she was a huge rap fan. In fact, it's really sad, isn't it, that last voicemail that Salaam Remy, one of Nas's producers, gets from her. Saying like she's got all these ideas in her head. She's like, I've got some Wu-Tang shit in my head. We need to link up. It's tragic. It was especially tragic for me. I mean, I was a friend of Amy's. We worked together for a couple years, and I was called upon by the director Asif Kapadia to come and do some interviews and submit some photos and footage that I had for the movie, which I have to say initially I was very standoffish about.
Why?
You know, because I just feel like there's a lot of controversial things about Amy. There's a lot of people who feel different ways, and everybody's got their own recollections and their own agendas as well. And you know, I'm still in show business, and there's some people that you know, close friends of mine I spoke to in private, they'll know that you know, there's some people in the industry that I'm still not happy with over the Amy affair. You know, I don't want to say too much. I don't want to say too much because honestly, it's still raw with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And when I went to the screening, I was with the director Asif Kapadia and with Nick Szymanski, who was her manager from a very, very young age. Yeah. He's a major part of the film. A really, really nice guy. And you know, talking to both of them, I sense the same anger in them. I don't sense it. They aired it out, and I think there's a lot of individuals who I'll go as far as saying they got blood on their hands, you know. And listen, Amy was an individual who, she's a human being. She's got to take responsibility for herself. She's not a child, you know. So a lot of things were, you know, without a doubt, her own doing. But there was a point where she was genuinely a very ill person.
100%.
And at that point, any normal employer or anybody around a professional person who was that ill would say, you know what, let's just do nothing for
a
bit and work it out later. And that didn't happen. That could have happened.
Absolutely.
And that's what left a bad taste in my mouth, you know. And I was at the Q&A after the screening, and a lot of people were throwing a lot of dumb questions at the director and at Nick Szymanski as well, and I there was lots of things I could have said, but I just didn't say it. There's no point, you know. Amy's become something else now. She's become a kind of Kurt Cobain. She's become a mythical person. But I knew the human being, you know. And it's just sad not to have her here.
Yeah.
And I'm angry that there was things that could have been done to avoid that end, you know?
Sarah, I think especially for you, and I know how passionate you are about good music and people doing music for the right reasons, and I think something that you'll personally really take out of the doco is that she was just, you know, a musician through and through. Every essence of her soul was a complete musician, and she had no interest in being famous. She never wanted that to be a part of it. And she, even at one point in the doco, she says that, you know, I feel so lucky that I've got this gift of this voice, but I would give it all back to not be famous. You know what I mean? You could see, like, she was somebody that really battled with her demons her whole life.
Yeah.
And music was her outlet. It was completely her outlet. So when she became so big that she won 4 Grammys and was just a worldwide and huge success, and there was just so much demand on her, it stopped being an outlet for her and started being another demand, which she, her only escape, because everywhere she went was paparazzi. Everywhere, and everyone around her, like her, at one point her alcohol and drug addictions was so on top of her that she goes away, I think it might have been Spain or somewhere, but she goes away to an island basically for about 6 months, and all she wanted was her dad, because she got really fucked up from a young age when her dad left, really brutally left the family, and that fucked her up straight away. And then, you know, you see in a series of the relationship she gets into and marries, you know, Blake Fielder and stuff like that. It's just so destructive. So, such destructive relationships that even to when she's at the point where she's already well over breaking point, she needs to be completely away, privately away, and she's like, all she wants is her dad to come and visit her at this island and so she can start putting the pieces back together. He goes out there with a fucking TV crew to do a documentary on my daughter.
Doing a reality cheesy reality show.
And she's just,
the real Amy by
her dad.
She's
just heartbroken. She's like, all I wanted was to get a bit of my life back and you've come out here and done that. And she's, she's like, well, my only escape, I can't physically do any other escape except get high and get drunk. It's the only way she can get away. Feels like she could get any peace from the world.
I had the other thing that the film really reminded me in a positive sense was how funny she was, because she always made me laugh. She was a proper clown. Do you know what I mean? She was hilarious. She had a real great sense of humor. And the other positive that I took from it was that I always felt this little guilt, because I've always felt that way. Like, a lot of people around her could have done more. But at the same time, I thought, I got fucked up with her.
Yeah.
Loads.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And at that time, I wasn't complaining. You know what I mean? Mm. But then there was a time in Edinburgh, we went to a Tex-Mex. Me, her, and Daniel Merriweather.
Mm.
Right? Mm-hmm. The three of us. You know Daniel, right?
Yeah, and when she passed away, he was devastated. He was in Melbourne at the time, and he was just heartbroken.
So it was us three in a Tex-Mex in Edinburgh, and me and Daniel ordered some big burritos. And she ordered, like, a bowl of nachos, a little bowl of nachos. And we'd been travelling together for weeks at this point. I had never seen her eat.
Mm.
I drunk with her. I got high with her. But I'd never see her really eat. And she was so skinny as well.
Well, she's bulimic,
you know?
As well. You find that out in the doco.
So she went to the toilet, and then me and Daniel were like, I think we should say something about the eating, you know? Mm. And he was like, you say it. I was like, no, you say it. You know? And then she came back, and I was like, I sort of made as anodyne a comment as I could about her eating. I was like, yeah, maybe we should order something else. You know, I tried to make it a little bit lighthearted, and she just laughed it off. But, you know, looking back and then watching the film as well, you know, it brought a lot of that stuff back. It was very, very raw for me, like, watching the film. But on the whole, I would say hats off to Asif Kapadia, because that movie blames nobody. It just shows you a full recollection from the people that knew her, and it lets you decide. And that is what I want from a biography of any person, you know? Yeah.
I think, like, by the sounds of it...
I've got my friends and my enemies on the film about my life.
I know she's a friend of yours, mate, so...
Are you hugging it out? No,
I think, like, really, though, like, by the sounds of it, what it underlines is what a scummy place, like, the music industry is. Like, if you're someone who's flirting with fame or the industry and you haven't got a network of people around you to hold you down, it's a cold-blooded place out there, because any artist out there who thinks, like, you're... record label actually cares about you as a human being, or your manager cares about you, or your agent cares about you, you need to wake up quick time, and you need to know that the people around you are there because of you. They're not there because they're going to get into so and so party for free, or they're going to get a photo with whatever cat
anything. Your best
because
friends,
at the end
ones
of the
you knew
day,
from school or wherever, those are the ones. You
at
need
the
to
end of
close.
The day, like, you know, a label, an agent, a manager, they've all got their own independent interests, and that is. Every day they're waking up thinking, how can I make the most money out of this product, this brand kind of thing? And so if you're...
Which is a very sensible business approach. You just can't, you can't put that on a human being.
But this is also why, for me, I have no interest or aspirations in the music industry. That's not a world that I have any admiration for kind of thing. And so it's just unfortunate in someone like Amy's case then that, you know, she didn't have that grounding behind her as well to guard her from that too. There are definitely... like people who succeed in being super famous, but they manage to keep their create that separation between their privacy their private lives and the stage life, isn't it? And so then that's where you have to look to a lot of the managerial people around you who are then putting you in these positions.
Agreed.
For you to be milked, because they know that, oh, it's going to be great if you're spotted here, or it's going to be great if you're doing this that with this person. This is a great way for us to promote
listeners. Don't get raped, and I mean that just in music industry terms.
Well, every term, actually.
Yeah, but
every
also term. Don't get raped in general,
especially by dolphins, because the 14 people a year get raped by dolphins.
Yeah,
they've got
barbed penises, guys. Barbed penises. So listen, we've got loads more raps about anything's coming in. Before we get into that, Hugh, there's one for you, the little No They Didn't.
Yeah. Well, first we're going to play an Amy tune, though.
Are we going to get into an Amy
tune?
We'll
do that one next. If there's one for me, that's weird. Respect, R.I.P. Amy Winehouse. He's back to black. It even makes me sad just hearing that. God, I fucking cried like a baby last night. It was good. I slept well.
You got it out the system.
Yeah.
Of course, that was Amy Winehouse. But you guys, did you guys watch any of Wimbledon?
I watched it all.
Did you? I was so gutted. There was all these matches I wanted to watch and I wasn't able to because I was busy.
There were so many great players. Hang on, so many Mavericks.
You watched all of Wimbledon?
Yeah, yeah.
Every game?
Yeah, I wasn't working. So.
You watched every single game?
I didn't watch every single match.
Well, you just said I watched all of it.
Yeah, I watched a few in the first round, a few in the second round, a few in the third round.
Cool. So you didn't watch all of it?
No, but no one watches all of it.
Well, apparently you do.
Nobody watches all
Have
of it.
Have you ever actually been to Wimbledon?
I would absolutely kill. There was for a while there, my agency always got invited to the opening day. They have a little champagne and strawberries and cream thing there.
Ooh.
And ooh. I was invited about 4 years ago because the seats that they've got were right behind David Attenborough and they knew I was a huge Attenborough fan. I couldn't go because I was in Edinburgh and that happened 4 years running. I was in Edinburgh every year at the comedy festival, so I kept missing. No, actually, that can't be right. Where was I? I must have been on tour or something because Edinburgh's August.
It's August, yeah.
You're slacking.
I don't know where the fuck I was, but I missed it every single year and now I don't get the invite anymore.
Oh.
I've never been to Wimbledon. There's only two sports that I love outside of football and that's boxing and tennis.
Yeah.
What is it about boxing that appeals to you?
Same as
love?
Tennis. It's exactly the same as tennis.
What's
that? Two people, two individuals.
Hitting balls.
Who are in like a kind of huge psychological and physical chess game. That's what I love about both of those sports. They're just trying to work each other out. And it's so emotionally and physically draining. It's like a gladiatorial thing. I'm obsessed with both sports. Yeah. They're incredible.
Yeah.
In fact, I should shout out my friend and legendary middleweight boxer, Carl Froch, who retired today. Absolute don of the game, 38.
Good.
From Nottingham.
Well,
I just say, what I don't
25
like about
stone heavier tomorrow.
About boxing, though, it's horrific.
It's brutal.
It's absolutely horrible. Brutal. And, you know, it's like if you've ever been touched by, you know, mental health issues in later life or people going through dementia, you know, it's a really difficult thing to deal with when you're watching someone fade away in front of you. They're still alive, but that person is diminishing. And so when you realize that a sport like boxing actually aids that, it just makes it hard for me to be excited.
I think
boxing.
That's harsh. I think
no,
that's harsh.
Facts.
I think everybody knows, everybody who boxes knows that if they get punched too much in the head, there's a risk of damage to the brain. Every boxer knows that before
that
they
the
get
aim
into
of
the sport.
Boxing, isn't
there's no like Machiavellian character that gets a boy into boxing. They choose to do it. It's not like a slave trade. They earn absolute eye-watering amounts of money. And there are occasions.
There's lots of boxers.
There
who
are
broke.
Occasions where boxers get in situations where they get mentally ill or they piss all their money
it's
away.
It's beyond occasions. I think there's a lot of medical and scientific evidence that shows you are facing an early onset of dementia, which is at a much higher risk than the average member of public. And then it's like the money that there's so much pressure on boxers to earn like their whole family's life earnings.
That's their choice.
Yeah, no. I'm not challenging whether it's a choice. I'm just saying, for me, it's brutal to watch people competing for early onset dementia. You know, when it's like
not
you
what
see
they're competing for, man.
No, but that's boxing ultimate, is, that's how it
that's
breaks
such
down.
A basic way of looking at boxing. Boxers don't go out to
boxing.
Hurt each other.
It'd be fucking
it's a it's a ballet between the two
points.
Of them.
You win points. The objective is to win points based on scoring blows to the head. I admire boxing in terms of like the discipline that it takes. The you know the story of boxers. Like
if
there's so
shit,
much that I admire
if you're
about
a shit
boxing.
Boxer, you can't
I'm
protect
not,
your head.
I'm not putting one brush over the whole of boxing. I admire boxing. I think there's so many great attributes that go with the greatest boxers kind of thing. But all that I'm saying is, to me, I find it very challenging to watch people being like pulverized, someone getting knocked out. You
I
know
think that's
I mean?
Fucking
you know,
crazy
of,
entertainment.
A lot of professional athletes though end up having you know all sorts of kind of physical problems when they're older, whether it's you know
that's
severe
the deal,
arthritis,
that's the deal that you make
whether it's
when you become
people,
a professional
NFL,
athlete.
People that even play football, you know what I mean? me. Like, a lot of people come away from any professional sport being seriously hurt. Like, even tennis.
Paul
even
Radcliffe had to shit on
tennis elbow.
Bro.
Where do you think tennis elbow came from, Doc? Yeah. It came from Wimbledon, all right?
It's just interesting how Mayweather doesn't want his son to box, you know, because he understands, like, the physical risk. It's like, you know, I would by any day, I would take more time with somebody that I love rather than time with them in money from them in the ring, you know.
It'd be horrific to be married to someone who boxes.
Yeah, or seeing your parent going through that, or your child, or anybody, you know, that you care. But there's people I see boxing, I don't even know this person from Adam, and it's like, I feel it. It hurts, you know. And so I admire boxing. You know, one of my favourite people in the world is Muhammad Ali, kind of thing. And I had so much admiration for what he's achieved inside the ring and outside the ring. But nevertheless, I think it's pretty hardcore, like, to watch people getting beaten in the head, opting to beat someone else in the head. Do you know what I mean? Like, how it's life threatening.
Yeah.
And so, but I still love it, and I do love tennis, definitely.
Yeah.
And so it was very cool to see Serena. What was this, her eighth? No. How many times is this she's won the...
Not sure.
On Wimbledon.
Lots, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Grand Slam, she's won like 23 or something. I mean,
yeah,
it's
no, but I think this is like her eighth Wimbledon or something like that. I can't remember.
Also,
this
year, this tennis season, she won every single Grand Slam, which I don't think anybody's done before.
Aww.
She must be good at this.
It's the Serena Slam.
And what was crazy, tripping me out watching Wimbledon this year, was seeing the... athletic, like, it's just incredible how you compare, because I remember watching like tennis in the 80s, like the physique of tennis players, the men and women, compared to like all the stats now, sort of thing. Like, they've just taken it to a whole next level in terms of like the athleticism behind tennis, which is why like people are serving these crazy serves and just taking the whole sport to like another level. Of course, like, there were idiots out there who were making stupid statements about Serena Williams, which I think is completely irrelevant and neither here nor there, but yeah, I just think it is just like we're seeing an evolution in the sport, isn't it?
Yeah, I love how J.K. Rowling jumped in there as well to have Serena's back.
Yeah, she's Serena's legend. Number one groupie.
So sick. It was such a good. Did you see the tweet that was put out?
I didn't see the actual tweet, but I heard about it. What was she? She was like, "Oh my!"
Someone tweeted Serena saying that you're built like a man. Right, fuck! It's like, fuck off, Nate. So J.K. Rowling emailed a photo of, I believe it was of them together, of J.K. Rowling and Serena together, and she's wearing like this beautiful slick red dress, looks like fuck a million pounds, you know what I mean? Mm. And then tweeted that to the person, going, "Yeah, my husband wears this kind of shit all the time, dickhead, dickhead."
Serena is she's more sturdy, she's more muscular than most of the women she plays against. But I've never found her to be masculine. Like, I understand there's some women you might see, like, you know, a female bodybuilder or something like that. You say, okay, you know, the tits have become pecs. There's no question
if
about that.
If she can penetrate you,
it's terrifying.
Because she's so muscly, then you know, she is technically built like a man.
Yeah, but like that clit is solid now.
Yeah. It can actually get inside you.
But Serena, I've always found her really sexy.
Yeah.
Always.
I reckon she's cute, man. Definitely.
I can't.
Obviously, you can't comment.
Why?
She doesn't really do it for me. No. But no, I know loads of guys.
Serena's incredible. I think she's still
very
feminine. She's still very feminine, and she's got such a sweet voice as well.
Yeah.
When you see that, it's just like it just hammers the whole thing home.
Yeah.
But
I'd love to.
I've dated Chinese swimmers who are like 8 foot tall. So Serena's nothing, mate. That's fucking walking the park from
8 foot tall Chinese swimmers.
Huge hands, like gloves.
They are men, bro.
No.
It's Yao Ming.
Big flapping hands.
Now that I think about it, I was like, "Whoa, baby, I love you. Your Adam's apple's so beautiful. Wow, it's so good. I'm gonna kiss it. Kiss your Adam's apple, baby. Can you carry me home, baby?
Big,
I'm so tired."
Big up Serena. Did you see the little video of them dancing? Her and Djokovic.
No, I just saw like stills from it.
Oh,
yeah, because that's
really
like
funny.
The tradition is
it's
every
really
the men's swimmer and,
really
and the women's winner always do like a dance at the Wimbledon.
It's hilarious
at the end. No,
it's hilarious because like Serena's trying to be cool with it, but it's clearly such a geeky situation. Goofy situation. She just gets on with it.
But men's final, I was well into that too. I mean, that was just like crazy to see like two geez, like that Federer and Djokovic kind of thing, like battling it out for that final. But yeah, Djokovic, what a beast. I do often wonder with a lot of these people, like how much other aspects of their personality can they be to get to that level of accomplishment at anything?
You've got
to
be all
there's
about
no
that.
Time for
yeah.
anything.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, so I wonder, they can't, some, they can speak.
You can see how much like, it means to their partners they as well, you know, words. Like when you see the girlfriends and boyfriends in the crowd going mental, you know how much it means because you just think, if they lose, you know what dinner's going to be like tonight. It's going to be
no, dinner
unbearable.
For the next year.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
Because like you say, it's their whole life.
Yeah.
There's nothing else.
Yeah.
And props to all the people who are, you know, partners of these high-level artists and sports people, because that's a tough
can
road
we,
to tread, man, I'm telling you.
While we're on the Wimbledon topic, can we get some facts in the studio about the dreadlocked half-Jamaican, half-German
yeah,
player,
I've got
Dustin
yeah.
Brown,
yeah.
Because the first time I saw him this year, I mean, I've had a bit of a thing for Dustin Brown for a couple years now because
man
he's
crush.
So yeah, man crush, but also he's such a maverick as a tennis player. The only dude I saw like him before him was Will Songa. Songa, is he Belgian or French? Just real maverick of the game, original moves, everything.
Another
real
mixed race dude,
just different. Another mixed race dude, yeah, no coincidence. But yeah, I was watching him in Wimbledon and he was sat down taking a break between games and he lifted up his shirt briefly and they zoomed in on his
pug life.
Zoomed in on his a huge
no,
tattoo.
Pug life, and there's a pug on his back.
Huge tattoo on his side, lower side, of what the commentator said, oh, and there's Dennis Brown. He goes, that's Dennis Brown, legendary Jamaican reggae vocalist.
Wait, was
the
Dennis
tattoo,
Brown
the
there?
Tattoo
no,
on his
what,
side?
Huh? What the so commentator the, said? There's
Dustin
Dennis
Brown lifted up his shirt and the
yeah.
and they did
and
a zoom in
quote.
On it and the commentator said and there's Dennis Brown referring to the image on his side,
oh.
legendary Jamaican reggae vocalist. And I was like,
okay.
Oh, wow, he's a Dennis Brown fan. Awesome. And then the next day or 2 days later, when he was playing again, he was interviewed after the game where he knocked out Nadal, and the commentator said to him, and you've got a tattoo of your dad on your belly. And he goes, yeah, that's like, I keep that there, obviously, just to constantly remind me of him. And I hope he's feeling proud. And then no further conversation. So is Dustin Brown's dad Dennis Brown? Or has somebody fucked up at the BBC?
Mm.
Can anybody get on Wiki and just let me know?
Well, you know how, yeah, I don't have that kind of information. Well, I might be able to get back to you about that, but you know how.
I'd love that to be
maybe
true.
Maybe the commentator's like, oh, they all look the same. So
yeah, yeah.
See,
he's got dreadlocks.
Yeah.
Dennis Brown had
must
dreadlocks.
Be the same dude. Must be
his
the
surname's
same
Brown.
No, but that guy, what's the dude's name again? The tennis player?
Dustin Brown.
Yeah.
Half Jamaican, half
he's
German.
Fit.
And in his, yeah,
he's fit.
He's a good looking man. And in
I'm putting it out there, so hopefully you're listening to the show.
I'm sure he is.
And, no,
he actually said, yeah, he actually said with a straight face,
he
they
loves
said,
Sarah
like,
Love.
They said, where does your influences and your game come from? And he goes, well, I have the dual influence from Germany and Jamaica. So I have, like, he goes, I have
flavor.
A lot of my efficiency and my ability and my technical skill I take from my German side.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just my easygoing approach.
Yeah.
Comes from Jamaica. I was like, bro, you can't say that shit, man.
In it.
Cool, we got Usain Bolt, man.
Hey, Sarah, you saying you hope that he's got a crush on you? I fucking know
Ooh,
someone that's got
Dustin,
a crush on
we
you.
We got Dustin Brown
oh,
email.
Dear.
I know someone. Do you want to hear?
I'm scared.
Do you want to hear a compliment?
I'm scared. I realised recently I'm not very good with compliments.
Yeah, yeah, I realised that too. That's why I love
oh,
doing
God.
It because it makes you feel so uncomfortable.
Oh, dear. I'm scared. Should we play a song first?
Sarah's turning red.
You know who
Sarah's
they are. You know who they are. I'm going to tell you who it is up next.
Oh, God.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FIBA Radio.
That's all part of our ode to the Beatnuts this week. You're tuned into FIBA Radio with myself, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Every Tuesday, 4 till 6. Make sure you lock in, lock on every week with us. We love having you guys with us. And you know, every week we ask you guys, what has made you say, are you taking the piss? Being English, this is just like a standard part of like our vocabulary and our way of communicating with each other. So we know you guys have got things that have made you say, are you taking the piss this week? I definitely haven't, including... what Hugh was mentioning before we played the yes. I'm like, are you taking the piss? Yeah. You're really going to drop this kind of thing to me live on it? I was actually blushing there, I think.
You were. You go bright red.
Oh, my God.
Every time this
but
happens.
But I don't blush. I'm mixed race. I don't blush.
You blush. You're blushing right. You're blushing right now. But yeah, Sam, we were just saying before, you were saying that you wished that tennis player had a crush on you. And I was saying, I know that someone has a crush on you.
Oh, God.
I want to save it now. I'm going to save it until we get into taking a piss.
Because
if you're going to have that as a part of my, damn. Am I taking a piss for you, then might as well save it. But I do have something else for you, though. Are people still sending stuff through as well? I'm tweeting, so Foo Bar Radio.
Exactly. Well. And TuesdayDrive@FooBarRadio.com. Send us your emails. Doc is furiously writing away for his rap about anything this week, so you're just going to have to hold tight to find out which subjects he's picked. We've had lots of lovely suggestions. Thank you all for, you know, you can keep them coming as well in between shows, because we like to get a good stash to build on for next week as well. So yes, TuesdayDrive@FooBarRadio.com. But on the tone of rapping,
well, this is actually I sort of realised this after last week when Doc was basically mumble talking, not even just mumble rapping, because he was mumble dribbling because he'd just come from the dentist, and we had toyed with the idea of you doing the rap about anything anyway, but we just decided not to do that, whatever. And I thought, I wasn't sure why you didn't want to do it, whether you'd be like, but then I kind of realised that I was like, fuck, there was a way around that. You could have actually done very similar to how Doc was talking and just basically mumble bluffed your entire way through it. Obviously, you know, there's been a lot of rappers over the years that just mumble and fucking very, very hard to understand. Even 50 Cent was saying before, a lot of his shit is fucking pretty hard to understand. And Iggy Azalea recently, who was on stage, it sounded like this anyway.
Incredible. Yes. Where was that performed again?
Somewhere in the States.
No, but what? You can't remember which event it was at.
Nah, somewhere. It's pretty recently, though.
See, this is what happens when we let the industry take the reins and call the shots. Because if that was in the street, that would not run.
But I mean, that's just proof as well that, you know, people are, you know, actually having songs that you completely unaudible at all. You can't understand what they're saying at all. One of my favourite ones that I've come across recently was Rich Gang with Lifestyle. Rich Gang, of course, was Cash Money and Young Money.
Oh,
I think.
God, this was featuring song, Young Thug. I wasn't actually thinking straight, but I realised you're talking about this.
It is fucking terrible. It's so bad.
This is
one of the
biggest tunes in the States right now. 150
million hits.
This is appalling.
Try and understand any of this.
Oh my dear. No, but this song is like the epitome of parasitic.
Wait, you gotta hear the lyrics.
Music.
You gotta hear the lyrics, gotta hear the lyrics.
No, there's one lyric. This kind of song.
Wait, check it out. Wait, listen to this. Here we go.
Wow.
Oh, have you not heard this before? Is this your first time hearing this?
I've never heard that shit.
This is one of the biggest tunes in the States. Yeah.
Really?
In the last
few months. You
sound
like Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby on Rehypnol.
So, I mean, obviously that's an example of two examples of really, really shit songs. Pretty much, you know, they're terrible, right? But I'm a big Frank Ocean fan, and I fucking caught Frank Ocean doing it as well. This fucking mumble shit, right? You can't understand what they're saying at all. I challenge both of you. I've got £10 in my wallet right now. If either of you can guess what Frank Ocean is saying here, it's yours. Check it out. Have a listen to that. Crank that right up. Have a listen. See if you can understand what this says. Slipper flopper.
I'm the worst person when it comes to lyrics.
What do you reckon he's saying there?
Leave my lemon flip flops alone.
Or my lem sip. Something about lem sip.
Have another listen. And see if you can.
Oh, God.
Leave a summer flimmer flop.
I don't know that song, but now I realise there's a reason why I'm not fiending to hear more of Frank Ocean's
music. Frank Ocean, but that was Super Rich Kids, that one of our own. But Super Flipper Flipper Saw, right? That actually, what he actually says there is. Sleeves rip off, I slip, I fall.
Sleeves apparently.
Sleeves rip off, I slip, I fall.
No way.
Fuck off, Frank.
Those lyrics were written after it
Frank,
was recorded.
Frank, do one, son.
I love it. Anyway, Sarah,
That is an Are You Taking the Piss?
Yeah. But that's anyway, Sarah, so I thought if you do ever want to rap again, mate, we got you covered. You don't need to say anything and there will be fucking millions of hits on YouTube. There's
I proof. Can guarantee you I've got more lyrics than Iggy Azalea,
yes.
Rich Gang, and that line from Frank Ocean for sure.
Flipper, flipper, tipper toe.
Terrible. Terrible.
Oh, I fucking love it. All right, what are we doing? Have we got, are you taking the piss? I am fucking hanging to do this, Sarah. I'm hanging to do this now.
Well,
tell you who your crush is.
Yeah.
You got a crush.
Oh, no.
I love love, Sarah. I fucking love love.
Well,
you know, love gives
the
soul.
They call me love.
Love gives the soul wings so you can fly high up in the sky, dodge planes, watch out for thunder and lightning and clouds and pollution. And fucking that's love.
I'm terrified.
That's love, Sarah.
No, love is wonderful. No, go on. I'm waiting with bated breath.
Do you want me to tell you right now?
Yeah, and then we'll play one more tune before we go into hearing what you guys have said. Are you taking the piss this week? Make sure you hit us up at Tuesday Drive at foodbarradio.com and you can tweet us as well. I've definitely got a long list.
Yes, but your first one is me. Am I taking the piss? Because I know someone that's got a bit of a crush.
Do I know
on
this person?
Yes.
Oh, God.
You do know this person?
Now this is going to be, like, super awkward.
Yeah, so he's...
do they know that you're...
They don't know this. They don't know this, but I feel like they said it in such
Hugh's a... Hugh's on his feet.
I am on my feet.
He's standing up in the studio.
That's more to do with the hemorrhoids than anything else.
Okay,
but,
cool,
yeah, sure.
Cool. I can relax a little bit now.
Also for effect. Definitely. Mainly hemorrhoids.
Okay.
But, no, they said this in that they thought you were really, really fucking hot and super cool, right? That was the exact quote.
Okay.
But they said it in such a public place. And I was like, it's fine to share that on the radio. You've said it in such a public place. That's fine to say it on the radio. Do you know why, Sarah Love? Do you know why? Because they said it on the radio.
Oh,
they
God.
Said it on the radio last week. Last Friday with myself
okay, not
and
on
Michael.
This show. I was like, hold on, I was here last week.
It was with myself and Michael Payne. We were on the radio.
Oh, God, who was on
Guess
the show?
Guess who said it?
I don't even know.
Michael Payne. Michael Payne
well,
said it.
Well, Michael Payne. He did seem a little bit fixated on my feet when he was standing in for Doc those few weeks.
He did. He really loved
I kept catching him on the slide taking pictures of my feet. I was getting worried.
He was going like,
I was actually quite relieved when you got back, Doc.
Boss lady Nat King, she was here. She will back me up on this. She's nodding out there. He was like, oh, fuck.
It's true.
He's like, I think he got out of his seat too. And he's like, she's fucking so hot.
How did
she
come about?
It's fucking amazing. Oh, it's like, God, I'm so... And then he did mention your feet again.
I need to remember not to compliment Michael on his Malcolm X glasses that I also have again.
What do you reckon? Are we going to let love fly? Like
I reckon it's time for another tune. And so I think we can get into
Are you taking the piss, Sarah? Are you taking the piss?
How
do you feel?
No, but this is quite
blushing.
Fitting for a... I feel like I'm blushing. I'm feeling a little bit hotter than I was before.
Yeah.
Hot as in temperature.
Sure. Both on.
Keep it locked to Fuma. Oh, that's another one. Is that yourself, girl? Who's that man? I mean, that's
another mumble.
Is it please settle down?
That's the rumor.
Okay, I'm the worst person with lyrics. I spent literally like my whole life until just a couple years ago thinking that Michael Jackson was singing, keep on to the post office. Don't stop till you get enough. Keep on to the post office.
Wow.
Next time, listen to it.
When you were away.
I saw, and I was like, I would have really been a good contender for that because I am the worst person to interpret.
The roof rack. Hey, we got a couple of. I just want to do a couple of quick shout outs for people before. If you just tuned in earlier in the show, we were talking about 50 Cent declaring bankruptcy, and we reckon that he's going to extreme measures to try to get what he wants because he doesn't want to pay his debts. He's 100 million pound debts. So we're asking you, what extreme measures have you gone to? And we had Paul in Maidstone said, I once lied to my bosses at work and bunked off trying to get tickets to Glastonbury. And I also recruited all my friend and family.
Okay.
Sorry. To help try and get some tickets. Yeah, there you go. That's pretty extreme measures, not having any more than one friend. But that's fine. You know, that's totally fine. Another one we had Gosport?
Gosport? Oh, Gosport?
Gosport? I once nicked a bottle of wine off housemate. Wow, people are really spelling great today, and I'm talking good too. English, right?
Huh? I'm talking good England.
I'm talking good England. Pip says that I once nicked a bottle of wine from a housemate after a long shitty day at work. Obviously, when she came home, I hid the evidence, denied it. Sneaky as fuck, wearing sneakers for sneaking, obviously. And it was nice wine as well. She had a good taste. That's pretty extreme measures, lying, stealing and lying.
But it's like drunk. Shameless about it. Like, they're just like, yeah, and I loved it.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Well, that's, yeah, it's a couple quick shout-outs anyway. Thank you very much for getting in touch with that.
We'd love hearing from you guys. And you know what time it is. It's about that time where we're going to get into, you know, it's we all need to vent from time to time. Absolutely. So then we don't have these crazy outbursts in the street where people act like crazy people. So this is your opportunity. FUBAR Radio, Tuesdays, 4 till 6 p.m. We ask you guys what this week has made you say.
Are you taking the piss?
We need to know.
Yes.
And there's plenty. Hugh.
Yep.
Has there been anything this week for you?
I, like you, friend, have had fucking so many that we don't have. I realise that
no time.
It means that I'm definitely assimilating to being English.
Yes, the you're more becoming a Londoner for sure.
Okay, I've got one. All right, yeah. I was DJing last weekend and I had this beautiful new fedora hat. First time that I've worn it. And then one of the staff at the club stole it off me. I was like, oh, can you not do that? Can you give it back?
Can you control yourself?
When I went to get it, they threw it right to the other side of the club, right? And I was like, fucking, what are you doing? Can you go and get my hat? And they went, no, you get it. And I was like, what the fuck? And I was so pissed off. And then when I went to get it, gone. Stolen.
Dusted. Are you taking the piss?
I was like, what?
Your brand new
hat. And even when I said to them, I was like, you could buy me a new hat. They went, no, they didn't. You didn't get it. Your problem. I was like, oh.
Wow, like old school bullying.
Two are you taking
but that piss? Should yeah. have been fight. I'm not promoting violence, of course.
I do promote violence, but I'm just a pussy. I'm just a pussy. I can't back it
so
up.
So you were like, okay, it's fine.
Yeah, yes. Yes.
That's a liberty.
That's fucked up.
Unreal.
Yeah, isn't
that's
it?
Even beyond taking the piss. Yeah. That's liberty.
Liberty.
And then you're in a weird position where you're like, am I actually going to maybe get myself killed over a hat?
Yeah.
No, so I've got to walk away.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fucked. You've got to be the... we need to get that soundbite as well. I'm walking away.
Oh, yeah.
To counteract that, are you taking the piss? Mm. That's kind of cold-blooded.
It is cold-blooded. It's someone that I like, too. I think they were maybe just a bit drunk or something like that. But and I was a bit like, oh.
It's a wrap for them.
What? Why? What my hat?
Alcohol. Yeah, again. Alcohol is the main theme throughout Are You Taking the Piss, isn't it? What about you, Doc? Has there been anything this week?
Shout out alcohol, though.
Yeah. Big ups to alcohol and Jager bombs, yeah, blood. Yeah. Nice mumble there as well. Still on the mumble.
Thank you. what's been taking the piss this week? Not much, really. Oh, maybe just my sister's dog a little bit. I got, like, my sister's away and I'm looking after her dog for, like, 3 weeks.
Mm. Is it just and destroying the house?
It's just taking the piss out of my life a little bit because it's like a pug. You know what pugs are?
Pug life?
They're, like, these
ugly.
Cute littles. Well, some of them are cute. This one's cute. But they're all very small.
Mm. If you just concentrate on the eye or the wagging tail, it's not ugly.
They're very effete. Yeah. You know, they're not, like... dogs to have on the ends.
Yeah.
You know, they can't fuck with other dogs at all. They're basically like little cats.
Yeah, ugly cats.
So I have to walk it around the hood and it's embarrassing.
It's killing your whole street.
Like people
cred.
Are laughing at me and laughing
got
at
no
the dog.
Cred in Hackney no more.
Yeah.
And no, actually your cred in Hackney's going up the way Hackney is nowadays.
Yeah, I need to
grow
a beard or some
you.
Shit.
Yeah.
And then like last night there was a fucking mouse in the living room.
Did it
looked like
itself?
A shrew. It had big ears.
Sure it wasn't another pug?
I'm watching like Orange is the New Black, so I say to the dog, sick it.
Yeah.
And the dog started whining and screaming.
Aww.
It might as well have pulled
like,
its little apron over
this.
Its face.
Aww.
You know? It was terrified of a mouse.
That's like when my sister found a mouse in her house, and so then they threw the cat in the same room as the mouse, and the cat literally shat itself. In the
wow, room. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That could have been more
that
down
is,
to throwing the cat.
The
don't throw a cat.
No, that's what the hell do you get a cat for? It's just going to shit itself. And
so there's a few piss takes that have been sent into the studio. What's happening with you, though, Sarah?
Well, I mean, the list is endless. But one thing which just never ceases to amaze me, how people believe any link they see on Facebook.
Are you taking the piss?
Yeah.
It's like,
get
this
grip.
Has come from nonsense.blogspot.com/CZ and you're believing this is like hardcore evidence. The aliens are here and they're in 10 Downing Street. Well, that might be true, but it just, I can't believe how dumb people are.
Mm.
Thank you.
Well, now I think Einstein says something about that, isn't it?
The levels. Lord Prince Charles knocked down the towers, though, isn't it?
So I'm just like,
where was he, fam? Yeah. Like, where was he at the time?
No.
Can you prove that he wasn't there?
Because these times now, remember when deep, people fam. Used to say these times
these
now?
These times now, yeah. Speaking for me personally, like, as myself. Speaking for me myself, yeah. Like me speaking, yeah.
Still,
just for me,
yeah.
For me, one, yeah. Fam. Speaking for me, like myself personally, yeah.
These times now.
You get me, fam. So what's your point?
Yeah, but no, my point is just that.
I get that it's your point,
sources.
But what is it?
Check the sources, fam.
No, I know
also,
what your point
I
is.
Also, I think so. The Tories, seriously, are they taking the piss with their budget, with relaxing the fox hunting ban and all that nonsense?
Are you taking the piss?
Tories, just sort it out. And Benjamin Netanyahu.
Are you taking the piss?
What a hater. He's like trying to hate on this like nuclear deal that America's made with Iran. You're a joker.
We've got the most liberal dudes in charge in terms of the foreign policy in Iran at the moment, and he's willing to talk. Do you know what I'm saying? And then Israel like, oh,
it's shit.
No.
He just went there and was like,
hold on.
Shit.
Ahmadinejad was a fucking psychopath. Like, he's gone. Like, can
Netanyahu,
we have a chat with him?
You are a psychopath.
Yeah.
You are the biggest threat to
world
peace.
Stop taking the piss.
Oh, we don't want that.
No, we don't want that. So, shall we see what the listeners are saying is taking the piss?
Definitely.
Is it that time?
I love getting this insight into the listeners' lives.
Yeah.
And
this
and
is
what
from
really, like, tickles
Simon.
Them.
In Welling Garden City.
That's fun to say.
Who says, my Kodak lens is trapped round the back of my fucking eye.
Oh.
I'm having trouble digging it out. They are taking a piss. I like that. They are taking the piss.
My
who,
eye
who
and
are
the
they?
Context. No,
oh, he's saying that I am the contact. Oh, that's nice.
They've come together.
I thought he was talking about the powers that be somehow.
Definitely.
Like Johnson and Johnson. They're taking a piss.
No,
Simon, I feel for you.
That.
That's fucked up. It's
like,
horrible when that happens.
What do you do in that situation?
Oh, it's horrible. There's a brief moment of real panic and you think I'm going to have to go hospital.
I'm going
to
die.
But then
sorry,
you just sort of like constantly
it,
no it is it's really scary you just constantly keep blinking and you start
Jesus.
To feel where it is but you're properly you're pulling your eyelid out you look like a pug while
you're
doing it.
You're supposed to shut
up.
Your eyes and go into fetal position and then until everything gets better.
Yeah,
apparently
just wait until things get better. No, but if anything gets stuck in your eyes, blinking is the thing.
Sally in Potter's Bar is having a very female moment. She says, it's goddamn rain has mashed up my hair and no frizzies. Yeah, that's a product, right? No frizzies is gonna fucking fix it. A girl needs good hair. My hair is my fortune.
Wow. Are you
I like that
pitch?
little side at the end. My
you
hair is
what?
My fortune.
That's
is she genuinely a
no, you
hair
know what?
Model?
I think she's biting Maya Angelou. Maya Angelou has some deep like saying about your
same.
Hair. A woman's hair is her glory.
Right,
that's
okay.
That's what Maya
even
said.
Bald bitches.
If I married Sally in Potter's Bar and we got divorced, I want fucking half your hair. If that's your fortune,
yeah,
I want shave
real.
Your head, half your head. I want half.
Half.
I want half.
Half, Eddie.
Half your head.
Yeah.
Why don't you love me, Eddie?
Simon in Reading says, I was called into work last Thursday during a tube strike when it's my day off. Are you taking the piss?
Are you taking the piss?
He's still angry.
I'd be fucking angry for the rest of my
Were
life.
Were you on the
happened.
Tube during that like?
I was actually. I was in Southeast London at one of the last bastions of vinyl in the UK. The Vinyl Cafe. Shout out the dudes running that. Having a beer, getting ready to travel to Bristol.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I didn't know was it wasn't just a tube strike. There was a First Great Western strike.
Ooh.
So all trains going west out of London,
mm-hmm.
which meant everybody was on the road. So I jumped into my car in Deptford.
Have you drinking and driving?
I had
Doc
one
Brown?
Beer, man.
Sure, but I know you're a fucking lightweight,
mate.
You're a fucking
listen,
kid, mate.
If there's anything I'm not, it's a fucking lightweight.
Oh,
so
sure.
I jump in a car.
Sure. One beer.
3 hours, 15 minutes to get to the M4 from Deptford, right? 3 hours, 15 minutes.
Wow.
And then when I got on M4, I realised, I turned on the radio, the trains out of London were on strike as well. So everybody who was trying to get home west of London was on the M4. It was another 2 hours, 45 minutes on the flipping motorway to get to Bristol. It took me 6 hours.
Have you actually
That's
gotten
crazy.
To Bristol yet?
I'm nearly
route?
There.
Are you still on route?
I'm nearly there. I'm just taking a pit stop doing the show. I'll get there, guys. Don't worry. Thanks for that, Simon. Who else? We got a couple more. Let's get into these quickly. From Stevie in the Hood, in brackets Putney. That's one, Stevie. I lost my ring and a lighter today. I'm not sure who's taking a piss, but it could be the few cheeky gin and tonics I had when I bunged off work early at 2 p.m. That's my guy. That's Stevie. Listen,
big up,
good man.
I
good
like
man.
The honesty.
Yeah. Lost the ring and the lighter.
I think we should set a challenge 1 week if we can find any. Are you taking the piss that don't involve alcohol?
Yeah, there's not.
It's true. There are a lot of alcohol related taking the piss.
This is giving me an idea that all of the UK's problems can be solved by just.
Well, we're a nation
abstaining.
Of alcoholics. There's no question about that.
Abstaining.
But Stevie here is one of the very few people that's emailed or tweeted us today that actually has had correct spelling and grammar, and is quite clearly drunk.
Not that we're judging you.
Yeah, fair play. It's true. He is the only one who I haven't had to self-correct while I'm flipping reading it. Well done, Stevie.
Grammar.
Although you spelled your name wrong, I suspect you're either Steve or Stephen.
No. It could be okay. Stevie Nicks.
Could be. Could be
that's
a woman.
Why Stevie Nicks.
Sorry,
does
Stevie.
Listen to the show.
Sorry, babes. Let's have a drink sometime.
Oh, did you see that South Park? They were taking the piss when
they're
they
always taking
they
the piss.
They did a whole episode with Stevie Nicks, but she was actually a goat, and they went to this like world tour with Stevie Nicks, but
it's actually
a goat that they wheel on stage. Yeah. But yeah, we've got to love South
that's
Park.
Nice.
Are you taking
that's
the
nice.
Piss?
Hugh.
Yes, mate. What do you need?
Hugh. This is the proper spelling of Hugh.
Fuck
Hugh.
Fuck off. Are you taking the piss, Doc Brown?
Are you taking the piss?
No, I'm deadly serious.
That's
your name is a load of bollocks, mate.
I do wonder where that, because I met someone else who was spelling it Hugh, and I did wonder to myself where that spelling comes from.
Welsh.
It's Welsh
it?
Spelling.
Therefore, not legally recognised by the rest of the world.
Okay. I've just got one name. It's Hugh, like Madonna or Cher. All right. So fuck you.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you, buddy.
Okay. So from Hugh. From Hugh in Milton Keynes, he says, I've just seen the lineup at Latitude and I can't get fucking ticket now. So pissed off. No. Like, what I don't understand about this email is he saying, like, he says, I've just seen the lineup at Latitude and I can't get a ticket now.
Yep.
Does he mean, like, whilst he was looking at the... He looked at the tickets, they were there. Then he looked at the lineup, and then he went back to get a ticket.
You've got to be quick with these things, man. You've got to be quick.
Snooze, you lose, Hughes.
Yeah, are you taking the piss?
Snooze, you lose, Hughes.
Spell your name right.
Could have got a ticket.
Yep.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, gosh.
I'm normally there. I'm not going this year.
I'm already feeling, like, festivaled out.
Yeah, I'm good.
It's like we're not even through July yet. But no, it does look like a really good
Let's finish up with Nancy in Shepparton. Who says, I fancy a cherry Coke, but I don't think they make them anymore. Why the hell not, Coke?
That is massively
Oi, Coke! Why the hell not?
Are you taking the piss?
I don't know, do they?
No.
I don't know, they do,
ages.
Do they?
It's not for our vanilla Iron Coke. They don't
outsell.
Vanilla Coke was fucking rank, though.
I didn't mind it.
But I saw someone with a vanilla Coke recently, in Glastonbury.
Maybe they saved it for a special occasion.
They had a bottle of vanilla Coke.
Producer Nat says they sell them in Sainsbury's around the corner.
What, cherry Coke or vanilla Coke?
Cherry.
Yeah.
Oh, Nancy and Shepparton. You
Nancy,
see
you can pop your cherry for the second time in your life. Sainsbury's in Caledonian Road. Oh. You're in Shepparton. It's going to be a bit of a mission.
but see how dedicated you are
we
to the cause.
We will rate you.
And we would love to see you in the studio as well.
We would absolutely love
that. We'd love to
listen
to you drink your cherry Coke. Oh.
Thanks, guys.
Happen.
And thanks to everybody. thanks, guys. And hey, guys, thanks for emailing in. We love to hear your voices. We love you. And I'd love to give a big shout out to all the people who've emailed in with your suggestions for the rap about anything. Thanks, guys.
And I
Wendy.
Would like to say thanks to your friend who reads the emails for taking the piss too.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Wendy in Streatham suggested for the Doc's email raps. Well, she says, Hey guys. Does Doc take email raps? I just don't know what that means. Did she think that maybe if
it
was a great suggestion on an email, I'd have been like, I like a good suggestion for a rap. Yeah. But she sent it on a fucking email.
Don't do it.
Yeah. She said, I'd like him to rap about how my strap just broke on my shoe and I chipped my toenail varnish. Hard times. We had a little chat about. My experiences. I just felt it was a bit too specific, but thanks Wendy, thanks guys for emailing in. Neil in Stratford, shut up Neil. I like this one a lot, and this requires some more discussion. Big G in brackets Gavin in Weybridge. I mentioned flip-flops earlier when we were talking about Duns River Falls. And no, quite the opposite, Sarah. He says flip-flops are a joke, guys. anyone that wears them.
Where is he?
Weybridge.
Okay. British people aren't very well connected with flip-flops.
He says anyone that wears them are a monster munch chief.
Mm. Bop, bop, bop.
But what's like a Monster Munch chief?
That's fighting talk. Right,
I know
there.
What
a
chief is, and I know what Monster Munch are.
I think he's just like, you know, magnifying the force.
And
of
then
chiefness.
Then he says, "Can you rap about the Monster Munch chief docs? Chiefs doc? Right. There's too many of them
Big
buzzing
G?
Around now.
Is that like
but
a crispy
first off,
chicken?
He's called me a chief because I was saying I wear flip flops, and yeah. he says I'm a Monster Munch chief. And then asked me politely to rap about him.
Big
no,
G, hit
no
us up next. Let's continue this next week, Big G, because I think we need to battle this out. You should even call us. We'd love to hear your voice, and we can just like battle this out. You and Doc
yeah,
on
well,
the
just give
line.
Us the etymology of Monster Munch Chiefs. What are they?
You know
yeah.
what, Doc, though? We're running out of time, guys. I want to send a big up to everyone who's reached out to the show. We love hearing from you. Make sure you tune in next Tuesday.
Thanks,
4
guys.
Till 6.
Thanks, guys. Email back.
Hey.
We
hey,
love
guys.
You. We love
hey.
You guys.
And I have a very special instrumental for you to rap about. Which subject have you picked this week?
Well, shout out to Graham listening in the office in Holborn wanting me to rap about the moon landings. I don't have time for that shit, Graham. I haven't got Wikipedia right now.
Far too much research.
Paul in Maidstone. Oh, no, that's not you. Hey, guys. He's with Hey Guys as well.
Are we even going to hear the end of your rap?
Harry and Brighton. Yeah, we'll hear it. No, not you, Harry and Brighton. The Drake. The Drake in Kingston.
Shit.
Says, where my penny sweets at? I wanted flying saucers, fruit salads and midget gems, but I can't find them anywhere. I love me some sherbet. Doc, please do the raps about this. Please do the raps. Okay, The Drake in Kingston.
That's
I love you
so
guys.
Funny.
This is for you. Here we go. Oh, get the earphones on.
Whoa. Go.
All right, cool.
Go.
Here we go.
Go.
Yeah, this one is for the Drake in Kingston. Save the change that you make from your income. Come with me and we can roam many streets on the hunt for some old school penny sweets. Fuck Freddos, cause they ain't worth 20p and they ain't old school anyway, you getting me? I'm talking about cola cubes and milk bottles, long ass strawberry laces, we're going full throttle. Pink shrimps, foam bananas with the choc topping, cinnamon, proper hot type gobstoppers. And we ain't going home early, girly, till we both chewing on a couple curly whirlies. And if you got 10p and you're tough enough, trust, a finger of fudge is just enough. Many snacks on which you could blow your wage. So complete this song for me so I know your age.
So
ready?
Know
here
your
goes,
age.
Here it goes. So I know your age. Here we go. Ready? So I know your age. If you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit,
join our club.
If you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit,
just join our club. Go.
If you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit,
go.
Join our club.
If you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit, join our. Yeah. Thanks, guys. It's been really emotional. I have such a great time with you guys. Just really enjoy it. We're gonna be back the same time next week. 4 till 6 with Sarah Love, Hugh Joseph and Doc Brown. Thanks so much for listening. We love you guys. Keep emailing in because it's you that makes the show. It's all about you guys. In fact, we're going to call next week Guys.
Yes.
Thanks. We love y'all.
And let's send one final big up to all FUBAR Radio listeners.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. And we out this motherfucker. Barack Obama stuff.
Drop the headphones.
Sexual chocolate. He's like, peace, balls. I'm letting them all free. I'm doing deals with Iran.
Something big's
I'm saving
gonna happen.
The environment.
Something big's going to happen. Later.
Bye.